Morning. How's everybody? Wow. Good morning. Wow. How are you guys doing this morning? Good. Good. It's me. It's little old me. I get to preach again. So, how you doing? This one's going to be lots of fun. So, today's sermon is how to behave. And I am the last person to stand up here and to tell you how to behave. I'll just tell you right now. I am not the best person on the face of the earth. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you that I get a lot of things wrong. Most of my stories are wrong. She has to correct me all the time. And I don't see things the way other people see things. So, you know, really, you got to take this whole sermon with a grain of salt because it's coming from me. I love that song that says, you know, I am who you say I am. You know, I get caught sometimes in who I say I am or what I think about myself. And I kind of beat myself up, and I get into this whole emotional, stressful event, you know, of, you know, you really are not a good person. You really shouldn't be preaching, actually. You are a hypocrite, you know. It's hard to say that, start at the pulpit saying that you're a pastor hypocrite. I am a hypocrite. I don't do what I say I'm going to do. I'm the best counselor on the face of the earth, but I don't take my own medicine. I don't practice what I preach. I don't do what I tell these other people to do. I can motivate others. I can work in other people's lives. I can do some God can do pretty amazing things through me. I can't take that same advice. Is there anybody that struggles with themselves? Anybody have that whole thing that's going on inside? I can see the hands. Thank you. It's serious. Gary gave me a choice. He says, you get two sermons. Not that I get to preach two sermons. I get a choice of one of two sermons. One sermon was how to flip a house. The other sermon was how to behave. I should have picked the one on how to flip a house. I'm a contractor. I know how to do that kind of thing. That would make a great sermon. I could probably dial that all in and make it funny. But no, you know which one I picked? How to behave. I don't know how to behave. I don't even know what I'm doing. I've wrestled with this. I've been wrestling with this because of what happens inside of my head. And you all raise your hands. Oh, I've seen you. I marked every single one of you that raise your hands. I know that you're dealing with you. See, that's the biggest problem is we start dealing with us. See, the song says, I am who you say I am. Who is we talking about? Who is that song talking about? It's talking about God. See, God says something different about you. And I have to myself all the time that God says and requires things that to be different than the rest of the world, for me to stand out, to be set apart, to be totally different. Why? Because I am supposed to be attractive to the world. Not me, not personally. I'm not attractive. But what I'm saying is how God's working in me, what God's doing in me should attract the world to me so I can tell them about Jesus. Amen? Every part of you, every aspect of you, everything inside of you should come back to who you are. You are a God. You are created in God's image. You are a magnificent creation that God himself knits together in your mother's womb. You are who you are. That's who I am. I have to constantly fight with who my mind says I am and who God calls me to be. So sometimes I wrestle with the image of God. God is perfect. God is not a liar. He can't be. So if God says, I am a masterpiece created in him, then that is exactly who I am. But then I wrestle with my mind on how to behave, and I don't know how to behave. So I'm wrestled with this sermon on how to teach. I'm the last person to teach you how to behave. In fact, what I can teach you is what not to do. You want to know how to behave? Do exactly opposite of what I do, and you're going to behave. That's going to be exactly what you do. Do exactly opposite of everything I do, everything I say, everything, and you're going to behave. Right? So I started thinking about my depression and my anxiety and my regret. I have this boatload of regret. In fact, it's not really a boatload of regret. It's more like a container ship of regret. It's huge. It's massive. You know, and that cataclysmically changes my behavior, changes perspective of me. And so I started thinking, if I'm going to tell you how to behave, then there's got to be something in the Bible, something somewhere that tells you that you got to think of something or think of someone greater than you to get you out of that repetitive feeling of how bad you feel about yourself, that image in the mirror that's looking back at you. You know, Gary talked about this image in the mirror, and I was just talking about him this morning. I said, there is a sinister side of that mirror. The mirror itself cannot be sinister because it's an inanimate object. But the person staring back at you is sinister. It's sinister because the person staring back at you, the person staring back at me, if I was staring at a mirror, knows. I know the background burden and baggage. I know the guilt and regret I'm holding on to. I know the reason why. Too much, eat too much, worry too much. I want all the best clothes so I can look the best. Why? Because there's something damaged inside of me. There's something missing inside of me. And so I try to go into the world. I try to go to do something to appease myself. So I tried to find something, anything in the Word, anything, that I can say, hey, you know, if you struggle with depression, if you struggle with anxiety, if you struggle with doubt, if you struggle with worth, if you struggle with any of these things, what is one thing that I can tell you what you can do? You've heard Gary preach the first image about you are the image of God. The second sermon was all about belong, believe, and behave. It's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. So I picked, if you get out your bulletins, pull out your outline, let's look at this very first scripture. And the scripture starts out like this: and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But that's not the whole scripture. The whole scripture is this. Now get out your pen. If you got one, get out your pens. I know you got pens. Get your pens out. Open up your purse. If somebody sitting next to you doesn't have a pen, I'm sure you can find another pen in your purse. Get it out. So here's the whole scripture. The whole scripture says this: every knee will bow. In heaven and on earth. And then it says, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God and to the Father. That scripture says, and every knee will bow and every tongue confess in heaven but on earth that Jesus is Lord. This is one scripture that if you want to learn how to behave, right? No matter what situation you're going through, no matter what decision you have to make, whatever experiences that you've had in the past, whatever you're dealing with right now, whatever worthless feeling you have or whatever bad thing you've done, look at this scripture. You superimpose that over all of those bad decisions, all of those things in your life. You superimpose this thing that every knee will bow, every confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now that right there should show you how to behave, because there's an end. This is not your end. This is not even your home. See, your home is eternity. We focus too much on the here and now. It's that image in the mirror. We focus on the externals. Oh, man, I'm too wrinkly. I'm too bald. You know, I don't look like I used to look. And then it just goes cataclysmically worse from there because I too focus on that exterior. See, but if I were to take that, if I went in the mirror and said, you know what? One day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ. Everyone. That means sinner and saint alike. Everyone, every single person will be claiming that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So whatever decision, whatever past experience, whatever it is that you've gone through in your life, however you assigned it to yourself, whatever is going on, you look at that scripture, you know, one day, I'm going to say that he's Lord, he's King. When that day comes, he's not going back to heaven to leave us back on earth again. He's coming back to stay. So whatever it is, whatever grief that you've gone through, whatever hurt that you have, you superimpose that scripture over everything. And that'll change your perspective. And the next scripture is a little bit different. So that's kind of the end. So this would be considered the middle. The next scripture says this: even though the narrow... enter through the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the road is wide that leads to hell. And many people will enter through that gate. But the gate that is small and the road that is narrow will lead to the true life. And only a few people will find that. Enter through the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the road is wide that leads to hell. That means this world is well lit. It's a wide highway. It is well traveled and so many people are on it. It's so easy to get caught up in that road. See, it's so easy to look at yourself and just get caught up, man, in the Facebook rhetoric or in the selfie syndrome. It's so easy to get caught up in that wide road that leads to destruction. But see, the gate is small and the road is narrow for a reason. If one day you say that Jesus is Lord, then before all that, there has to be something, some place to go that gets you off of that wide road. Gary says it every Sunday, cross that line, come, ask Jesus to come into your life and take control. Admit that you're a sinner. It's literally that easy. It's that simple. If you're here and you're a Christian today, you completely understand what I'm saying when it says every knee will bow and every tongue confess. If you're not a Christian, then hey, you need to pay attention to this. Because here's the thing, whether you believe it or not, the truth will rain out. And you'd much rather be on this side with Jesus now than to be on the other side. So this road is wide, it is well lit, it is well traveled, and the gate is small and the road is narrow that leads to salvation. It's small, that gate is small for a reason. So when you cross that line, you let go of who you once were. You have to let go. I have to let go of that predisposition to be depressed. I have to let go of that mask I put on to be who I'm really not. I have to let go of all those former things that say I was worthless or useless or dumb or whatever. I shouldn't be up here. I have to let go. That great gate is narrow because those things can't pass through that gate. Those things you can't carry with you and walk through that gate. When you come to know Jesus, those things are shut up. You are a new creation. You are a child of God. You are new. You are perfect. You're exactly who God wants you to be, all broken and messed up in spite of all that, because it's Jesus that does the good work inside of you, not you. So the gate is small for a reason, because those kinds of things in your mind cannot go through that gate. And the road is narrow for another reason. The road is narrow. Once you get through that gate, it's a hard road to traverse, because things of this world you have to let go of. The things of this world you wrestle with. Now, if you're a new Christian, I completely get it. You have to wrestle with, you know, abortions or homosexuality or stuff like that because you're a new Christian. It's like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? But if you've been a Christian for a while now, you can't wrestle with those things. You can't wrestle with those thoughts. It's like me looking back at the mirror and over again. If I keep looking at that worthless, useless person that my mind says I am, and I keep buying into that, then I make what Jesus has done in me useless. Anybody? Anybody's gone through that? Anybody? Go through that thing with their mind. Everybody look at themselves like that. Anybody have problems like that? See, that you can't take those things on that narrow road. You can't. You can't keep carrying those things. Eventually, along that road, you are going to meet Jesus again and again as you mature, right? The metamorphosis, I found this definition. It says this. Metamorphosis is the process of transforming from an immature form into an adult form into a distinct state. From an immature form to an adult form. See, when I just become Jesus, when I just become to know Jesus and I'm this immature Christian, then I'm going to do immature things like an immature Christian. It's expected because you just don't know. But as I grow older, as I mature, as I let God work inside of me, as I don't buy into the world's ways, but I buy all the way into what God has me do, then I mature like Christ. See, it's information through a process. It's called sanctification. Sanctification is a lifelong process to become like Christ for a reason. Because at some points in your life, you're not ready to deal with hard things. This sermon was hard for me because no other time in my history would I be able to wrestle with the things this sermon is doing for me and doing in me. See, I'm maturing, but this part of my life was this sermon. It wasn't flip your house. It was how to behave, because the problem is I've got this thing going on inside of me I still have on. I'm 53 years old, and I still got daddy issues. Are you kidding me? I should be over this stuff. I'm not 8 anymore. I'm 53. Why on earth would I still? And so I superimpose again. I look at that scripture, and I look at that, and the problem is this. Is it true that I don't go to see my dad because of me or because of my dad? I got Dan and Bernie to tell you, I don't go see my dad because I don't want to go see him. Right? I don't want to go see him. Now, it's not because he's bad or mean, and he has been, and he probably still can be. But the thing is that if I'm telling you the truth, if I want to tell you how to behave, then this is the things you're going to wrestle with. You're going to have to wrestle with you because you know. See, I know. I know I got to go see. I know I've got to go tell him, hey, look, you know, I acted like a hypocrite. I preach this, and I don't come and see you, and I should love you, and in spite of all the, Jesus loves me in spite of me. I got to love you in spite of you. But I don't go do those things. And even Gary said, so what are you going to do? You're going to go see him after church? And I'm like, no. No. Because I'm still wrestling with that part. I'm still wrestling. Man, please tell me I am a child. Am I forgiven yet? Has God shown me such great mercy and given me his grace? Yes, he has. And do I need to show that to my dad? Yes. I do. It should push me to want to. Sinister image inside the mirror that's staring back, still holding hostage the mindset. The whole process of going from immature. Paul says it like this in Romans 2, he says, listen, do not conform to the pattern. I focus on the word renewing because, again, it's that process. It's that process. It's not a switch. I don't come to know Jesus and everything becomes perfect in my life. Bam, I'm thinking good. I'm some good. I'm being good. Bam, I'm good. This is good. Jesus came into my life and I'm perfect. I'm doing the right things. I'm saying the right things. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Jesus did not come and save my mind. He did not come and save your mind. He came and saved your spirit. He came and saved your soul. He saved that part of you. He did not save your mind. Because your mind is something you have to wrestle with. The past is something you have to wrestle with. The present is something you have to wrestle with. You have to wrestle with that person staring back at you. It's the hardest thing to do. But if you want to know how to behave, then you have to realize that the person staring back at you is saved just like you are. You have to know that. I wrestle with being immature, and I want to be mature. And you ask my wife, man, how many times do I act immature? How many times am I immature? Shh. That's something you don't answer. That's later. Paul says, don't conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That constant renewing, that constant transformational process, that constant thing I've got to wrestle with my mind. Jesus did not save my mind, he saved my spirit. It's my mind I have to wrestle with. It's the thoughts of my past I have to wrestle with. It's those things I have to wrestle with. It's not those other things. And then he says, conform and transform. So if I'm looking at it from the perspective of this metamorphosis process, you know, that caterpillar into a butterfly, right? Then I have to look at this transformation or conforming into like wings or worm. Do you act like a worm? Or do you fly like the other? Because that's what he's done. That's what he's talking about. Paul says, don't conform to this world. Don't blend into this world. Don't act like the rest of this world. Because God has created you to stand out, to be set apart, to be made new, to be a new creation, to be all these wonderful things God has set you out to be. But don't blend into the world. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. Don't buy into those things of this world. Don't act like a worm and do wormy things like the rest of the world. Don't do those things. In fact, Paul says, no, you need to be transformed. See, it's that constant renewing. You need to be transformed. You need to be in your mind on things not of this world, but things in eternity. That one day, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. That one day, there'll be no more hurts or sorrows. There'll be no more deaths. There'll be no more background burden or baggage. There'll be no more of those things, man. You need to be transformed. You need to fly like a butterfly. You need to get wings. Right? And what Paul is saying is when you transform, when you get those wings like a butterfly, you fly above it all. You fly above your past. You fly above reproach. You fly above, out of your life. Those things that are going on that you have signed yourself to, you fly above all those things because that's the amazing thing that Jesus does for you. He doesn't make you more like a wing or make like a worm. He makes you fly above that worm. But see, here's the thing. You can fly. You can get those wings. You can fly above. You can do all those great thing, but if you hang out with people who conform to this world, then your wings will fall off and you'll act more like a worm. Does that make sense? Watch out who you're hanging out with. What is it that you're listening to? What is it that you're reading? How caught up in Facebook and social media? Who is telling you? Who is defining you? What is defining who you are? Because there's one person who should define you, and that's God. There is one person that tells you who you are, and that's Jesus. That is it. That is all. There's nothing else you need to listen to. Nothing else that you need to conform with. You need to be transformed. Put those wings on. Fly like a butterfly. Sing like a bee. That's Muhammad Ali. Of your mind. This is such a hard sermon because I'm pacing, I'm sweating, I should take my jacket off. This is hard for me. It's hard for me to tell you how to behave when I'm so jacked up. And what about you? I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one that's messed up. I go to counseling. Do you? Admit I go to counseling. Will you go? Because I guarantee you there's something in your past or something that you're dealing with that you need to talk with somebody. Are you willing to talk with them about it? Are you willing to get to open up and admit it? Are you willing to be free from those things? Be free of those wormy things that are holding you like a worm and talk to someone by admitting it. Get those wings and fly above it all. Because that's what God did. That's what Jesus did. Paul, I love this. I want to meet him. First thing when I get to heaven, man, I want to meet Paul. I totally get this guy. I totally get it when he says, man, why do I do what I want to do and not what you have? I totally get when he says, who's going to untie me from this body of death? I totally get those things because of what my mind does to me, what it holds hostage of me. See, when I deal with clinical depression, I'm depressed all the time. I can't just snap my fingers and get out of it. I can't. I want to. Don't minute I don't pray to be transformed and to be free from the bondage of this depression. Don't think I don't. I do. But see, Paul knows. He knows it's a fight. He knows it's a struggle. He knows it's a battle. He knows it's something that you've got to wrestle with. You know, it's like financial issues, you know. Going back in the day, man, I used to spend money on the best clothes, the best sunglasses, the best. I had to have the best of everything. And Linda would be like, you know, we don't even have the budget for that. And I'd say, I don't care. Kids can, don't eat. I'm buying my Barnum sunglasses. I'm buying my whatever tennis shoes they were. I'm buying my you know, whatever the, I can't remember the name brands anymore. It's like, holy smokes, what is that? She shopped at Kohl's now for $2 and I get an outfit. It's sweet. So that's the old part. That's the old part, right? I used to try to define myself by the things that I bought. Is anybody here that has bought something they shouldn't have bought? Oh, look at all the bobbin heads. You're like the little bobbin dogs in the back of the window. Look at all that. Is there anybody here that has bought something that somebody said you shouldn't have bought that? Anybody? 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 Look at it all this. So you not only have you admitted that you spent something to define yourself, but you just admitted that somebody in your life told you not to. And what did you do? Wait, say that again. You did it anyways. Shame on you. Shame. See, now if you had that back, if you can go back in time, you would listen to, oh, was it your spouse? Was it your friend? Was it your parents? Was it your best friend? Was it somebody? Who was it? Somebody in church? Did somebody tell you you shouldn't? Who was it? Because if you can go back in time, you're like, you know what, man, seriously? You're right. It's like fighting with your spouse or fighting with somebody you love. It doesn't really matter. Whoever you fight with, you like to fight, right? So when you get in the middle of a fight, you want to win. Don't lie to me. When you're fighting, the whole purpose about a fight is to win. That's conforming to this world. That's what it is. Let me give you a little counseling tip here about fighting. Let me just throw this out here. Okay, this is good. This is free. This is not part of the sermon. It's all free. It's not going to charge you for it. In fact, I'm not a professional counselor. I just play one. So here's the thing. Listen. You guys listening? Go like this. Guys, listen. Okay, listen. So this is free. It's all free. So when you're fighting, you have two skills to go for. That's right, or you're right. That's it. Two choices you get. That's right, or you're right. See, if you go to your right and you're fighting, what you're saying is, shut up, I'm done. When you hear you're right, what they're really saying is, shut up, I'm done with the conversation, I'm done with you, you're an idiot, go sit down, I'm done. I'm out of here. When you hear you're right, it's over. Nobody won. You didn't. You're not right. You're not really right. So don't go home and take the win. You didn't take a win. You're a loser. You didn't make it. Did it wrong. You said you're right. You got the you're right. In other words, shut up and go home. What you want is this. You want that's right. You want that's right. What you want to hear is that's right, because that's the aha moment. That's when you hear, oh, what you're saying. I get it. That's right. Right, I really understand what you're trying to do here. I really understand what you're trying to say here. That is right. See, we do this with ourselves. We have to do this with ourselves. We either tell ourselves, yeah, you're right, and you go on, conform to this world, and you're in that habitual pattern of your sucky life over and over again. Did I say that? Sorry. But it's true. It's true. You want to even fight with yourself till you get to the apartment where you say, you know what, God, you're right. That's right. Not you're right. That's right. Try to get what you're saying. I am a child of God. I can behave better than this. I can act like better than this. I can say I'm sorry. I can say I love you. I can say I forgive you. I can my dad. I love my dad. I gotta honor my dad. I gotta love my dad. I do. I really, really, really do. What are you holding on to? What are you grasping with? What are you not facing? Because it's the trueness of it. If it's that right and you're right, then it's just as simple as this. Are you blaming? Are you using? Are you running away from? Are you avoiding? Are you saying, you know what? I got to face up to it. I got to own up to what I did wrong. I got to face the reality of what I got to do. Sometimes being the child of God means you got to do some really hard things. You got to face some really difficult situations, but you got to see what God wants you to see. That's what I was wrestling with this morning when I got here. I was shocked to see Gary here. I thought he was gone, but God's good. He was there. He was in the office, and I just unloaded on him like a two-barrel shotgun, double-barrel shotgun, something like that. See, Paul, Paul completely understands the battle of the mind, the process of the mind. God completely understands Paul completely understands what it means to wrestle with that and to fight against that. Not to conform, but to be transformed. To allow that renewing, that regeneration that Jesus does in you to rejuvenate, and to make you new, make you whole, make you clean, and make you forgiven. So you can own up to it, that you can face up to it, and you can do the hard things that God is asking. Paul says something like this about Jesus that I still am wrestling with. Paul says, to live is live for Jesus. To die again. To live every day, I live for Jesus. I live because of what he's done and what he has done and willing to do for me. That he is faithful, that he is in relentless pursuit to have me in spite of all I've done. Every day I live. That's the freedom, that's the renewing, that's the regeneration, that's where I'm made perfect in the power of because of Jesus. Amen. To die is gain. Going to see my dad's like dying. To be honest with you, that's struggling. That's right there. Going to see my father. It's like I told Gary, I said, I'd much rather preach this sermon than go see my father. It'd be easier to go see my dad than to say this message, because I gotta admit I gotta go see my dad. It all boils down to what are you gonna admit? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna face? What are you gonna own up to? What is it? You can make all these excuses, you can keep defining yourself by that image in the mirror. You know what? Gary was absolutely right when he started this sermon process, this whole series on metamorphosis. He's right on. He's spot on. Listen to your pastor. As messed up and as jacked up as he is, as much as he has a problem with driving, as much as he has issues of his own, he's spot on. What's my name? What's your name? You want to change your name? You want to change who's standing back with you? Then you must realize that you're God. You want to know how to live in this crazy, crazy world with all of your past and all of your present situations, and in light of all the stuff that's happening on in this world, all the crazy news stuff that's happening today, man, you want to know how to live for Christ, the kind of world, you've got to belong. You got to belong. And I believe that changes your behavior. That it really does. I got to find that I do belong. I really, really do belong to a family of God. You're my family. I love every single one of you. I may not know every single one of you, but listen, man, I love you. And you love me. You love Gary. He stands up here every Sunday and tells you how much he loves you. I should tell you the same thing, but I don't. I wonder why. That's probably a psychological thing there, too. But you're right. You've got to belong. You belong to a family of God because you are a child of God. He's the one that named you. He's the one that created. He's the one that stitched you and gave you purpose, a plan, and according to his will and his timing. That's it. You got to, and then you got to believe, man, believe. Believe Jesus is doing something magnificent inside of you each and every moment of your life. Right now, I got to give glory, honor, and praise to Jesus because of what how he's moving me with my dad through this sermon. And he'll do that with you. You pick up your word. You start reading your word. You start meditating on the word. You get into a Bible study. You start belonging and doing something inside your church. And God will speak to you about the things inside of you. God will speak to you about the things inside of you. I say that one more time. God will speak to you about the things inside of you. All the brokenness, all the hidden ideas, areas that you shove things to that you don't want to admit that they're there. He will speak to you about the things inside of you. Paul says, listen, man, it's action. It is faith in action. James said, you can't just be hearers of the word. You just can't come here and listen to me. You can't just sit there and clap and laugh and say, oh, well, that was a great sermon. I'm going to take some tidbits home. You can't. You can't do that. I'm telling you, you can't. Because that sinister side of you that's staring back at the mirror was going to have complete control over you and not Jesus. So it's just, you have to put your faith in action. You have to do something. You can't just sit here and hear it over and over and over again. This is an ancient document. These are ancient sermons. They've been preaching this for over 2,000 years. Listen. Listen. I'm telling you, you need to listen. As much as God's telling me I need to listen, you need to listen. You need to put your faith in action. You need to do something, right? You need to do something. Here's where the sermon actually starts. How long has it been? 32 minutes. Okay. We're going to end this. We're going to end this. Good. This is going to be a good, positive ending. And I'm going to end it quickly. No, I'm not. I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. Because, man, if I've been wrestling with God and how he behaved, I do not want to wrestle with God with things I should have said. So if you miss your lunch, blame God. Okay, you ready? You ready? Ready for this? Okay, so this is your faith in action. This is Romans verse 9 through 21. Open up your Bibles. Get out your smartphones. Whatever you have in front of you that gets you to that Romans 12, look it up. It's going to be on the screen. We're going to go through this little verse at a time and see what God does here. So the very first one is not that one. That one. I can't even read that. Your love. See, I should have glasses. Your love must be real. Hate what is evil and hold on to what is good. Love each other like brothers and sisters and give each other more honor than what you want for yourself. Your love. This is your fill out point. Your love must be real. Just flip over your paper. You're going to be flipping back and forth. Your love must be real. Just as much as I have to know that God's love for me is real, I have to make a real love for those around me. Including my dad, including those that hurt or harm me. My love has to be real. I have to know that I am created in the image of God. I have to believe that with all my heart that that's true, that God loved me to send his son to die on a cross for me, and he does that for you. If you're here today and you know Jesus, you have to listen to this whole sermon. You have to listen, and you have to do all of these things. If you're not a Christian, listen, you don't have to do any of it. You can just listen to it. Yeah, it's good stuff. I'm telling you, it's something. It's powerful to be a child of God. There is such immense glory and renewedness and power to be injected with Jesus. Amen? man, right? So the next one is this. Do not be lazy, but work hard, serving the Lord with all of your heart. The next one is this. You are serve the Lord. See, this is all action. This is all. You've got to put your love into action, and you have to do something that is serving others. You have to. You have to serve other people. You can't just be listening to the Word of God. You have to actually do what it says. Get my notes out here. Sorry for this long pause. I didn't preach my notes. Choose to look. No, that's not it. What is this one? Wherever you are, serve the Lord. Man, I am. This is that awkward part where you're like, what the heck just happened? That was totally good just like 5 minutes ago, and then all of a sudden, poof. Isn't it? Okay, here we are. Where you are to serve the Lord. These are. Is it the next one after this one? No, go back. Here, right here. That's where we're at. Right there. That's why I'm lost. Wherever you are, serve the Lord. See, now this is perfect. This is Paul nails this part of it because he's saying, listen, make use of your opportunity. That's what Paul says. In pretty much every single one of his letters, he's talking about be careful how you walk or how you live. What he's saying is watch all the opportunities that come by your way to serve for God. He's saying, listen, this is what he's telling you. He says your time is limited and your time is valuable. Don't waste your time. Paul is saying, look for the opportunities. They're all around you. Not just to love you, but to love others around you. But you have to love you. You have to forgive you in order for you to love and forgive other people. But look for all the opportunities. Don't waste your time on frivolous things of that person staring back at you, of what you're claiming that you are. Look that you are a child of God. You are created in his image, and you are free from the bondage of these. Look for the opportunities. Your time is limited. Your time is valuable. Please, 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 please don't waste your time. All right, and what's the next one? Be joyful because you have hope. Be patient when trouble comes, and pray. Pray at all times. This is choose to look for the goodness of God. Now, coming from a super depressed, negative person, this is super positive. Look for the goodness. See, I don't want to look for the goodness in anything. I want negative. I want to look for all the bad things. The sky is falling. You don't want to go do that. That's hard. No, you have to choose. Choose. The right there, I would circle that. Choose to look for the goodness that God is doing. See, this is all action. This is all things that are required for you to do, to love, to serve, and to choose to see the goodness of God. Because in all things, no matter trouble, no matter your past, no matter your situation or circumstances, no matter what you assign to you, the thing good God is doing, and God is doing it all the time, because all the time, God is good. So think, choose. Choose to know what the goodness of God. Choose to see the goodness of God, because man, all the time, our good, good Father is doing good, good things. Right? No matter how messed you up you are, no matter how much you spend. Steve, no matter how much you spend. I see you raise your hand. Sorry, brother. Love you. The next one is this. Share with God's people who need help. Bring strangers in need into your home. This is care for the needy. This is not care for those in need. This is care for the needy. I'm needy. Yeah. That make you, I'm needy. I'm depressed. I want you to care. I don't want you to walk away from me because I'm depressed. I don't want you to look and go, dang, I guess putting a negative feed on there. I don't want to. No, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do that with people that are depressed. I want you to come alongside of them and love them and show them what real love is. I want you to serve them and show them how Jesus has served you and how you can serve them. Don't run away from their depression. Run into their depression. Show them that you care. And it's not just depression. It's all sorts of issues. It's people that have physical problems. Man, they knew. They need you to step up and help them. See, these are all action plans for you to realize who God has created you to be. God, Paul, just nails it about all these things we have to do. You have to get up, you have to get up, you have to go. Did you hear me? You have to get up and go, get up and go, get up and do. And he said, care for those in need, those who have physical problems, those who have mental problems, those who are spiritually broken. It's 40 minutes. Pray for them. Pray. Can you pray? You heard my last sermon about praying, right? You can't. You got to pray. Pray for those who are depressed. Pray for those who are in physical problems. Pray for those who are in need. Pray for those who are lost. Pray. You can't pray enough. You can never say, okay, God, I prayed. I'm all prayed up. That's never going to happen. You got to keep praying. You got to keep going on your knees. You got to keep loving on these people. You got to keep choosing to see the goodness of God. You got to serve others. Do something. This church is in desperate need of people to serve. And there's four of you here. Serve. I'm kidding. There's more than four. But I'm saying serve. Get up and serve. Get up and do. Don't just keep don't keep doing wormy things. God gave you wings, man. Red Bull didn't give you wings. Jesus gave you wings. Right? Something like that? Okay. Anyway, let's move on. Wish good for those who harm you. Wish them well and do not curse them. Be happy with those who are happy and be sad with those who are sad. And live at peace. I've circled peace. Live at peace. I've circled the whole thing. Live at peace with each other. Consider others more important than you. This is, and you can write this down, this is humility. This is talking about being humble. It's not talking about being prideful. It's not, this is talking about right next to humility, write this, comfortable. God wants you to be uncomfortable. He doesn't want you to be comfortable. He doesn't want you to be comfortable with a bunch of worms doing wormy-like things. He wants you to be uncomfortable, create wings, and fly. That's what he's saying. He says, listen, please. He says, consider others more important than yourself because look it, I just told you how I consider me. And I'm not the only one who considers less of me. There's other people that consider themselves less. But listen, that's not who God created you to be. That's not who God made you to be. You are in his image. You are a masterpiece. And God has made things to do specifically for you that nobody else can. Fly. Don't worm around on the ground. Don't waste your opportunities. Stop it. Stop it. Time is limited. Time is valuable. Because one day, every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. One day. And that gate is small and that road is narrow for a reason because you can't take all this garbage with you. Stop it. Stop taking that garbage with you. I'm telling you, don't do it anymore. You're done. And when you walk out those doors, you're free. You're free from your past. You're free. Listen, if you don't know Jesus today, I'm telling you right now, this isn't the invitation, but the invitation's coming. You need to know Jesus. Because Jesus offers you the free freedom that you, the only freedom that you can. It's not self-help books or how much you can do or what you can buy. None of that's going to work. It's hollow, it's deceptive, and it means nothing. Only Jesus can free you. Only Jesus can set you free from the bondage of your past. Man, listen, if you don't know Jesus, you've got to know Jesus. And if you do know Jesus, man, you need to recommit your life back to Jesus. Get back on track, wasting time. Stop doing those crazy wormy-like things and fly like a butterfly. The Bible says you will soar. You will soar on eagle's wings, and that's what God has planned for you. Not only will you be a butterfly, but as you mature, you're going to be an eagle. Who doesn't want to be an eagle? Am I the only one? Next. What's next? If someone does you wrong, do not pay him back for doing wrong to him. Try to do what everyone thinks is right. Do your best to live at peace with everyone. If someone does you wrong, do not pay him back by doing wrong to him. Try to do what everyone thinks is right. Do your best. As much as it depends upon you, live at peace. This is the peacemaker. This is that whole peacemaker part. You got to live, not just be at peace with people around you, but be with yourself. Be at peace where you are. Be at peace with what God is doing. Be at peace by waiting upon Jesus to morph you and transform you into what he's designed you to be. Be at peace with that. Wait upon God because he's going to do great things in you. You're going to come and cross all sorts of crossroads. You're going to go through all sorts of quagmires and hills and valleys. These are all great things that God's going to do in you. They're not bad things. Don't avoid them. Don't rush through them. Don't pretend like they're. Do not do those things. Trust God, and he will navigate you through them. And then when you come out on the other side, you've got wings. You're going to be flying. Live at peace. Live at peace with everyone. See, I tell my wife all the time that I want the evidence that people have against me. I want it all to be about the love of God, about forgiveness, about mercy, about grace, about what Jesus has done for me. I want the evidence against me to prove that Jesus lives. He's alive, and he's alive in me. I want to be that light. I want to attract the world to me. I want them to get so caught up in their wormy things that they see me off at the distance and go, hey, I want to be like that. And then run up and say, hey, what's the difference about you? Jesus is the difference about me. Let me tell you, you want to know about being abused? I'll tell you about being abused. I've been. Mentally, physically, sexually, I've been on that. You want to talk about depression? I'll tell you about depression. You want to talk about anxiety? Oh, let me tell you about anxiety. That's new. It's something new in me. But let me tell you about, I know about those things. But let me tell you something better. This is better. I am not confined by them or constrained by them or bound by them or chained by them or imprisoned by them. Jesus has set me free from them. Amen? Okay, let me try. Amen? Amen. You want this thing to end? It's probably been 50 now. Is this guy ever going to be done? Is this sermon ever going to be finished? Am I going to get off this stage? Yes. Yes. Live at peace. What's the next one? My friends, do not try to punish others when they do wrong, when they wrong you. But wait for God to punish them with his anger. What's next? It is written, I will punish those who do wrong. I will repay them, says the Lord. But you should do this. Circle that. Could do this. Circle that. That's good. You should. Not me. Not the person to the right of you or the person to the left of you. You should do this. You. If your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. Doing this will be like pouring burning hot coals on his head. Do not let evil defeat you, but defeat evil by doing good. When you are doing the good things that God has created you to do, to be, evil cannot be around. Evil cannot even be in you. But you should do these things. So go ahead, go back to them. So you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. It's just not enough to have faith now. There has to be that whole thing. It's not just, you can't just live in the believe section. You got to belong, right? You can't just live in the belong section. You got to believe. You got to do both of those things if you want to behave. Amen? So you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. You must do good to prove that you have it. To prove what? That you have the Holy Spirit. To prove what? That you have salvation. To prove what? That you are unbound, unchained, unconstrained by the things of this world. That you are free, free, free because of Jesus. Man, you want to prove that, then live it out. Have faith. Faith, have faith. Faith that does not show itself by good works is no faith at all. It is dead, useless, and... Don't you want to fly like a butterfly? Amen? Do you want to worm around with wormy things? No. Say it out loud. No. No, no, you don't. You don't want to get caught up in those things. See, at the end of the thing, it says this. So you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. You must also do good to prove that you have it. I'm just reading this over again. If it doesn't show itself by good works, is no faith at all. It is dead. It is dead. Dead and useless. You have a choice. No choice. See, it isn't enough just to believe. It isn't enough just to belong. It isn't enough to try to behave. You got to do it all. You got to belong. That means you got to get involved with the church. Do something. Do something. You can't just sit here over and over again every Sunday and hear the good news of Jesus and go on back to your dead life. It isn't enough. You've got to belong. Find that belonging. You've got to believe. Got to believe that you are set free, that you are made new, and that you are new of creation. You've got to believe that. You've got to believe that. And then your behavior will change. Want your behavior to change? I do. I want my behavior to change. Man, I'll tell you what. I can't wait the time I get to tell you about me going to see my dad. Because I know that day. I know it's coming. Okay. I don't know what God's going to do there, but he's going to do something good. And if he doesn't do it in my dad, he's going to do it in me. He's going to do it in you. It starts with you. Don't kid yourself. It's not all these things. It's not. It's called a negotiation. It's called the 2-millimeter shift. It's 50 minutes. It's 50 minutes. It's called the 2-millimeter shift, right? So here, really quickly, it's this. If your life is going that way with all the garbage and all the junk and all the things you're avoiding and all the things that you're not doing, right? If it's going that way, the 2-millimeter shift is this. If I were to draw a line from here and go to eternity, you'd go straight out. A 2-millimeter shift is this. You get it? You're going this way. 2-millimeter shift is this. One step away. Take one small thing that you can do in your life that you can face and own up to and change it. One small thing. And then take that one small thing and run with it. God give you wings with it and do great things through it. And then you can face the hard things. Yeah, just one thing. Just find one thing that you can do today. Promise me. Raise your hand. Raise your hand and promise me you're going to do one thing to change. One small shift. One small step. Do it for the glory of God so that God can glorify all the things he's done and manifest inside of you to go and reach this world, this dark, dark, dying world. You don't want to be a worm like this dark, dying world. You want to be a butterfly. Do you realize this? That no two butterflies' wings are the same. No two flies' decorations on their wings match. They're all uniquely different, and so are you. You're uniquely different. You don't have to be like me. You don't have to be like that. You got to be who God created you to be. You got to be like you. So here's the invitation. And it's going right into the invitation. I'm sorry, I can't wait. You've got to come up here and sing, Whatever, just get in place. Here's the invitation. Listen, you have got, right now, here's the thing, right now. You know you spent too much. Right? You already know that. We've already admitted. You already know that you are holding on to things you shouldn't be holding on. You know all that. And if you know Jesus, now you just heard it. You just heard a sermon. You just heard it. Now you got to do something about it. So this invitation, listen, if you got to face something, one small thing, whatever it may be, come up here and I want to pray with you. And if you don't want to come up with me because you don't want to come up and pray with me, go pray with Gary. He's in the back. He'll be happy to pray with you. He loves to pray. He loves that kind of stuff. Go see him. He's the one that's not in his shoes. I'm in tennis shoes too. Because this was such a hard sermon, I had to have my comfortable shoes on. So let me tell you, listen. Are you listening? Listen, you've got to know Jesus right now. And listen, if you're a child of God, you need to rededicate your life. You need to repurpose your life, give it back to God, and do God things. Okay? I expect you to think about that right now and come up and let me pray with you, pray over you, pray for you. And if it's not me, go see Gary. And if you've got a blue card inside of there, you fill it with a prayer request. I'm just giving you all this stuff up front because I'm just going to be different. This is different. It's a whole different thing. Everything's changed. Everything's messed up. I already messed it all up. So listen, if you don't know Jesus, you need to know Jesus right now. Listen, no excuse. You're done. You cannot walk out that door, walk into the world, because that world will chew you up and spit you out like you're nothing. You're just another worm in a bowl of worms. You need to come to know Jesus and realize, man, he's got a better plan for you. He's got a better life for you. Look at your life. Look at all that. You can either complain, bicker, bemoan, and come up with all sorts of excuses, or you can come to know Jesus and break free from all that junk and have God do something amazing. Don't you want to do something amazing with your life? Raise your hand. Anybody? Amen. Yes. You want to do something amazing? Come and find all the amazing things that Jesus will do inside of you. Come. You have to. There's no excuses. You can't take one more step. It's either you rededicate your life or you come to know Jesus. We all have to go through these processes. You might have to rededicate your life a few times, but you give your life to something new and purposeful that Jesus has planned for you to do. Oh, this is so great. It's like 55 minutes. I'm sorry. Preach it. Oh, God, please. Listen, don't take the garbage with you today. Do not walk out of that door with that garbage. Listen, it's gone. It's done. You come and you pray the prayer of salvation. You cross that road. You take that step. You accept Jesus into your life. It's gone. The garbage is gone. Who you once were is gone. You are no longer that person anymore. You are a new creation. If I can stand up here and preach Jesus, depressed, messed up, full of anxiety, not seeing my dad, making bad decisions, I guarantee you, he can do the same for you. Man, please don't go out that door. You must pray. You don't have to pray with me. I'm nobody special. I'm nothing. I'm nothing. It's what Jesus has done in me. It's what Jesus is doing in me that makes it happen. But come to know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, come to know. You have to. You can't leave this place. You have to. And if you know Jesus, come pray now. I know you've done what you didn't do. I know you said something you shouldn't have ever said. I've seen Facebook. I know. I know. And you're Christians. I know. I know. You get caught up in the red. You get conforming. Don't do that. Listen, don't. Don't leave these doors. Do not leave this door unless God. Yo, please, 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 please. Don't waste your time. This is your opportunity. Don't waste it. Your time is valuable. Life is valuable. And it's limited. You don't know how much time you have. Don't waste it. Please, 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 please. Don't waste your time. Don't waste anything that you give. Please, tell your dad. Tell him not to waste 1 second of his time. Because he doesn't. I know his dad. His dad's got great stories. Please. Ready to see? Don't break through. I'm sorry I went over. Apologize. Gary will probably not let me preach for a while again. I'm sorry. But listen. Okay, ready? Okay, so I don't know how this goes now. I completely forgot. But I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray with you. Come.